Thank you, Mr. McClung, for your kind words of welcome. I'm here for to preach at your harvest meeting. I'm very glad to be here tonight and to have this opportunity of sharing fellowship with each one. And I want to say a very sincere word of thanks for Brother Jackie Anderson for kindly brought me here tonight. And you know, when you get to my age, everybody's a bit house. And so I'm glad Jackie could drive me here. So it's years since I've been here. And you know, especially at night time, all the winding roads and turns, and it would be very easy for to miss your way. So I'm thankful to Jackie for coming tonight. And glad to be here to share in your harvest meetings. Every harvest reminds us all of how quickly the seasons are going by, how quickly our lives are going in. And we haven't really long to stay in this world. Life, as the hymn writer said, life at best is very brief, and how brief it is. But how good it is to be saved tonight, and to know the Lord, and to know that you're on your way to heaven and to glory. And you know, if you're not saved tonight, you may be saved. You can be saved by the grace of God and by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great salvation we have. And what a great gospel we have to proclaim. Now, I want to read a passage from the book of Isaiah in the chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. We thank the Lord tonight for his precious word, for the Holy Scriptures, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to each and one of our hearts. Let's bow together briefly in a word of prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee in our Saviour's blessed name for this day, thy goodness and thy mercy to each one of us. We thank thee, Lord, for this gathering tonight and for our meeting. We praise thee, Lord, for what we've heard from our brother, the messages in song. We thank thee, Lord, for this harvest time. Lord, for thy provision for us in supplying all our needs according to thy riches and glory. O God, grant that we would ever be thankful and praiseful to our God. Thank the Lord for sustaining our lives also. God has kept us to this very moment. For in him we live and move and have our being. We realize, Lord, we cannot take a step. We can't even draw breath, Lord, apart from thee. And Lord, we give our thanks tonight for sustaining us and maintaining that breath within us. We thank you tonight for thy word, for thy precious truth, and for the glorious gospel that thou hast given to us to proclaim. Lord, bless the word to our souls tonight, Lord, we ask of thee. Bless your servant here, Father, who preaches in this house, and his wife and family, and your people here, Lord, in all that they seek to do for thy name and for thy glory. Be pleased to bless them mightily, to give them many precious souls for their hire. Oh, we pray our Father tonight in our Saviour's name, Lord, that the windows of heaven might be opened, and Lord, that a mighty shower of blessing, the showers of blessing, would be poured out upon us in a mighty revival, and Lord, that many, many would be saved. Lord, not hundreds merely, but tens of thousands might be gathered into thy kingdom. Oh, God, help us and give us the faith, Lord, that can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Increase our faith and our confidence in thyself. Lord, bless the word to our souls, Lord, tonight we ask. In Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Now let us turn in this passage for a few moments tonight here in Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 3. We are tonight thinking about the harvest time. And Isaiah the prophet here speaks of it in the verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Now back in the days of Isaiah the prophet, people had their problems and their difficulties, just like we have them today. Back in those times they feared famine. There was always a threat of war and pestilence and disease and all that sort of thing. So they had all of these things for to cope with. They had their everyday troubles. Now the prophet here speaks about thou hast multiplied the nation. And of course God did multiply Israel greatly, as he had promised to Abraham that he would multiply his seed as the stars are in the heaven. But then he says here, thou hast not increased the joy. Or rather, their joy had diminished. The nation had increased, but not so the joy of the people. I believe because of the pressures and because of the difficulties and of everyday life and so on like that. But he also speaks here, I believe, in the second part of the verse. We might think to look at this verse here on the face of it, that we have a contradiction. But I don't believe that that is the case at all. He's speaking here in the first part of the verse about a worldly joy, a natural joy, the joys that people experience in this life. And wouldn't life be awful miserable in this world? Wouldn't it be very dark if people didn't have some measure of happiness from day to day? So he's speaking here in the first part of the verse about what we might call a carnal joy or a natural joy. But he goes on to speak in the second part here about a different joy altogether. He's speaking here about the joy of harvest. And he's speaking, I believe, about a spiritual joy. And after all, isn't that the most important? The Apostle Paul reminds us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Are you rejoicing in the Lord tonight? Are you rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven? That you're on your way to heaven and to glory? Oh, what a dullness has come down and settled upon many of God's people. We're not rejoicing as we ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his cross work, and what he has done for us, in his goodness and in his mercy. Now while this carnal joy, this ordinary everyday joy had diminished, yet there was a remnant of the people, and we trust a large remnant, and they rejoiced before the Lord according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, this was a spiritual rejoicing, in recognition of who God was and is, their relationship with him. Now the psalmist speaks about this as well in the Psalm 4 and the verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. That's a spiritual joy. That's a divine joy. That is a joy in the Lord, more than all the time, he says, than their corn and their wine increase. But he says, I have something far superior, something far more lasting. I'm rejoicing in the God of heaven. The fact that the psalmist said, that I know him, and I'm rejoicing in him. Now, of course, it's only right and proper at this time of year that we do give the Lord thanks for his provision for us. In the natural harvest, when we think that there's multitudes of people tonight, many of them just seeking to live and sustain their lives perhaps on one meal a day, and perhaps far less. And when you think in this land, how much we have. They reckon that in the United States of America, that at least 40% of the food produced is all wasted. 40%. That's a high percentage. And it may be that in Ireland and England, we're not far behind. How much goes to waste? May the Lord help us to use well what he supplies for us. This harvest time of year is a time when from our hearts we should give thanks unto the Almighty for giving us food enough upon our tables, for our families each and every day. But here's the people then, and they are rejoicing like the men of harvest, as men joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. But what did they really rejoice in? What were they really glad about? Well, let us just think about this for a few moments, and there's just three very simple things. When we think about people rejoicing in the time of harvest, and of course back in Bible times, just like in our day and generation, multitudes of people would have come together. When the corn was all gathered in, they would have sung and praised the Lord, and there would have been great shouting, great excitement. It was a time of blessedness. But what were they rejoicing in? Well, I suppose, first of all, they were rejoicing in the provision of the harvest. The provision of the harvest. And that's the first thing that comes to our minds tonight. We know that a good harvest means another year's supply of food. At least, anyway. We know two or three bad harvests may spell disaster. And we trust that the Lord in his mercy next year will send to these lands a good harvest. The harvest past hasn't been as good as other years. And been so much rain. But a good harvest always meant another year's supply of food. The man of the house, the husband, could say to his wife and to his children, we thank God because we have enough for another 12 months. What a great relief that was. What great peace of mind that would afford it to that little family. All has been gathered in, and we have enough to sustain us in body and to keep us for the months ahead. Now that was some relief, wasn't it? And even so, more so back even in the times they didn't have the same variety of food that we have. How they depended upon the ingathering and to have a good harvest. But of course, there is more to a man, there's more to men and women than just the body, isn't there? We're living in a materialistic society. And of course, the whole emphasis today is on the body, our bodily needs. And upon gathering of the material. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ put it like this, when he said, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? That's what society is taken up with today. That's what the world is running after. The wealth, the material things. And all what we can eat and what are we going to drink? And the latest fashion and all that sort of thing. That's how men and women are geared today. But the Lord has made another provision for us. But God has made another provision. Because there is more to men and women than just the body. Do you know tonight that you have a soul? Surely you believe that here tonight in this house, that you have a soul. And what an awesome thought it is as we think of that. A soul that is going to live for all eternity. Your body is not going to live for all eternity. There will a time come when our bodies will be laid into the ground and into the grave. But it must be surely one of the most awesome thoughts that can ever grip our minds and grip our hearts to think that we have immortal souls. And they will live on and on for millenniums and for all eternity. Man is more than a body. He has a soul. A precious soul. And God has made provision for the soul. Yes, there was rejoicing in the time of harvest. But ought not we rejoice tonight in what God has done for us in sending His Son to die upon that cross on Calvary? To die there for sinful men? And there to hang and to suffer before the whole world? You know, with all the materialism that we have today, but all the seeking after this world's goods, there's one thing sure, and people can testify and tell us plainly over and over about this same thing. It doesn't bring happiness. Not the happiness at least that they thought it would bring. Nor the contentment either. If there was ever a day and generation when people are more discontented and more unhappy and more uneasy and more restless, it is today. With all that we have. One of the famous radio presenters there, and I think he'd be on the television as well sometimes, is Chris Evans. And when he was interviewed some time ago, given his life story, you know what he said? He said, I have been at the very top. And he said, there's nothing there. I went to the top of my career. I got all the fame and all the money and everything else. But he said, it is empty. It is empty. That was his testimony. But you see, I want us to think tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we think about the harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ is food for the soul. You have a soul tonight. Do you feel that your soul that is empty? Do you feel your life is empty? Do you feel that your heart is empty? Your heart is empty tonight? That there's really no purpose in life at all? Oh, I'm here and I'm living and I'm going on and I'm doing my job and I'm seeking to get on in life and all the rest of it. But somehow or another, you feel empty. What's the purpose of it all? One of the early church fathers, Augustine, he surely summed it all up when he put it like this. He says, we are restless until we find our rest in Him. Oh, how true the words. It is true of young people in this society of ours. It is true of older people as well. And those even advanced well in years. They are restless. Men and women are restless until they find their rest in Him, in Christ. How true the hymn writer when he said it, now none but Christ can satisfy. None but Christ can satisfy. The nation here rejoiced greatly in the provision of harvest. But oh, let us look beyond the material harvest for a few moments tonight and think about the great provision that God has made for your soul tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the remarkable words that we read in John's Gospel in John chapter 6 and in the verse 55. Let me read the words for you. John chapter 6 and the verse 55. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Oh, we might think very strange words these are. The Lord speaking about drinking his blood, and eating his flesh. But the one that would do so would have life in himself and would have life eternal. But of course these words have a spiritual significance, haven't they? There's not the literal eating of Christ. No, they have a spiritual, a deep spiritual significance. And it speaks about, of course, the need of accepting him, receiving him by faith and resting on him for salvation, the salvation of my precious soul. That's the food that God has provided. It's not the world or anything in it. It's nothing that we can manufacture or conjure up. No, the only one that can fill your soul tonight and mine is Christ Jesus the Lord. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That is believing on his cross work. Relying upon what he has done upon that cross on Calvary. When I come to him, when I come to him in all my need, with my hunger, with my thirst. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to that woman at the well that he spoke to? The one that would drink this water would thirst again. And isn't it a fact tonight that multitudes of people are finding this out? They will tell us freely about it. The material, if you like, the material waters of this world. What do they find? They find that they most certainly keep on thirsting and they thirst again. Or they see something and they want it and they must have it. And then when they get that, they want something else. And it's a vicious circle. But it's just like what Jesus said, the one that would drink of these waters, speaking about the physical, natural water, would thirst again. But thank God, he said to that dear lady at the well, the one that would drink of the water that he would give would never ever thirst again. Never thirst again. Now the children sometimes sing in their children's meeting, no, never thirst again. No, never thirst again. Oh, thank God tonight there's a fullness in Christ. There's satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets our every need. Young person tonight, don't look beyond Christ. Don't set your gaze or set your affections or your desires upon this earth. It doesn't satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy. There's a fullness in him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The people of God, the Christian. Sometimes we can get lean as well. I don't mean lean physically, but lean spiritually. When we neglect the Word of God. When we neglect the place of prayer. When we neglect the house of God. We lose out so we can get famished. And we can get hungry. Oh, what a shame it is upon us all if we do that. When there is set before us all that we need in Christ. Doesn't he invite us for to come and die? Every day. And as often as we wish. What a fullness there is in him. But then for something else as well. Men rejoiced in the harvest because they could discharge all their debts. That was another reason for rejoicing. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. As men rejoice and they divide the spoil. All their debts now could be discharged because the crop has been gathered in. They've had a good harvest. Now, of course, throughout the year they have incurred many debts. Seed, of course, has to be paid for. And it may be that the man, he went out and he bought a new plow. Maybe he's bought fencing posts and wire. Maybe he put up a new shed for the cattle. And he's been depending upon this harvest, so he can go down to the hardware store and he can look the man in the face and say, now, well, where's the bill? Let me see the bill. And of course he can clear the whole lot. That was a great relief to him, wasn't it? All could be cleared. And he's been waiting for this time of year. And he's been hoping and trusting that everything would go well. But you know there's a greater rejoicing than that. There's a greater rejoicing even than that. You know, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation are out of debt. Are out of debt. Are you in God's debt tonight? Are you in the debt of the Almighty? Are you a stranger to God and to grace? As the hymn writer put it, sin had left a crimson stain. Praise God, he washed it by the snow. Are you rejoicing tonight that you're out of God's debt? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Every sin has been taken and it has been cast out into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Never more to be remembered against you anymore. Well, you may say to me, well, I don't really believe that. That's too good to be true. But dear friends, tonight that is the gospel. Those who come in repentance before God, those who humble themselves before the Lord and cry out to him for mercy and pray, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm in debt. I've accumulated a whole heap of debt. A mountain of debt over the years. So much so that I can't even recall all my sins. I know some of them. Some of them stand out, but it would be impossible for me to name them all and to mark them all. Dear soul tonight, that's why the gospel is good news. What is the gospel tonight? The gospel is nothing other than good news. It is glad tidings. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and who trust him, their debt is discharged forever. Forever. There's a great verse there. We have it in Ephesians. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, chapter 1, the verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You can't be saved tonight without the blood of Christ. It's his blood that cleanses from all sin. It washes. It makes the soul spotless. Brings you into a right relationship with God. Are you out of God's debt tonight? Or have you got a conscience that's forever giving you trouble? When you go to bed and when you lie down, oh, the past comes flooding in and you're restless. You know, tonight I wonder, and I'm not saying, you know, we have to be very careful. But I wonder, I just wonder, I'm only asking the question, I'm not stating this as a fact. But I wonder how much trouble tonight people experience in their everyday life. They're troubled, they're upset, they can't sleep, so on like that. I know this may not be true in every case, of course, but I just wonder how much of it all, how much of the mental illness in our society is due to this. A conscience that will not give peace. Troubled past. Sins recalled. These things occurring time and time again, so that life is unbearable. Life is unbearable. Dear soul, tonight your debt may be cancelled out and your sins forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. They rejoiced in harvest because it meant their debts could be all cleared. They rejoiced greatly before the Lord. Of course, there's a counterfeit religion today. There's always a counterfeit, isn't it? I went into a shop the other day, I think it was a chip shop, and there they had the sign up. There they signed it up. Please don't be offended if we check your nose. Check your money. They must have thought I was kind of shifty looking or something, because she did look at me alright. But don't be offended if we check your money. Counterfeit, you say. The counterfeit money. And when it comes to the things of God, And to the gospel there is a counterfeit as well. People today think, they think that they can discharge their own debt. They say, yes, we have done a few bad things, and I may be troubled, you know, but it's kind of like a balancing act. I hope that if I do a certain amount of good things, and I give to charity, and even give into the church now and again, and try to live a good life, hopefully at the end, one will balance out the other, and I come out all right. And I'm hoping that this will do the trick and everything will be fine at the end. But dear soul, tonight you can't discharge your own debt. The best I could ever do could never save me. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to die if I could save myself? Why? This is a question we have to face up to. Why was the Son of God born? Why did he have to be born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem? Why did he have to live? Why was he rejected of men? Why was he crucified? Why was he arrested and spat upon and mocked and reviled? Why? What was it all for? And then taken out to that hill on Calvary there, nailed to a tree. No, we can't discharge our own debt. I don't care what we do. It doesn't matter how well we live. And doesn't this same prophet tell us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? We've all burnt filthy rags at one time or another. And you get the whole pile together somewhere in the garden you set a light to. And that's just what they are. It doesn't matter who we are. Oh, you see, tonight there's good living people and there's moral people and there's upright people that say, that's what you're saying there tonight. Now that's for the pervert. Or that's for the murderer. Or that's for the thief, for the bank robber. That's for the poor soul that is down lying in the gutter somewhere tonight as a result of drink or drugs. No, not so. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. And you can't discharge your debt. All have sinned. Only Jesus Christ can do that. That's why he died. And dear soul, tonight, if you trust him with all your heart and come to him, you'll be saved. You're not coming to the church or to the minister or anybody else. It is Christ. It is Christ. That's why he came. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician. Need not a physician. I remember years ago going into the doctors in Irvinstown. And there was a doctor there at that time, and he was kind of rough and ready. I'm pretty sure Jack can know who I'm speaking about, but I think I was only in perhaps picking up a prescription for one of the children that was sick at the time. And this doctor, he came out of the room and he looked all around him at everybody sitting about. He says, what are you all doing here? He says, there's not half of you sick. He said, get up and go home. Shouldn't be here at all. He said, nothing wrong with you. And maybe there was a lot of truth in what he said. And there's a whole lot of people did rise up and go home. So you wonder why they were there. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The Bible tells us we're all sick. And we're all sinners. Some people don't believe it. They don't believe what God says about them. Oh, but he came to say it such. And those who will admit it. And then as we close our meeting and our time is gone, there was rejoicing because the corn was out of danger. Out of danger. You see, all the while that stood there in the field, men were anxious, weren't they? They were looking at the weather every day. They were thinking to themselves, I wonder what's it going to be like tomorrow. Corn is not just ready yet. Is the weather going to break? What's going to happen? They were anxious. They were anxious. And of course, they'd be looking at the forecast and be wondering what's going to happen. But oh, how relieved they were when all was gathered in. In other words, They were rejoicing because the corn was out of danger. But there's a greater rejoicing still, even above that. The one who has believed on Christ, the true believer, rejoices because his soul is out of danger. Out of danger. They rejoice before thee as men rejoice in the harvest. You know, when it comes to funeral hymns, when a dear child of God passes away from this world, one of the most favourite hymns, of course, is Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And how true it is. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Their soul is saved. It's out of danger. There was a time came in their lives when they came to the Lamb of God, when they trusted Him and they were saved. You see, you stand in danger every moment, just like that corn. You stand in danger every moment if you're not saved. What awful day. How can you go on like that? You know not what a day will bring forth. God has to give you every breath. People think today that they live, they sustain themselves. They don't. You can't take one step apart from the Almighty. You can't draw one breath or say one word apart from the God of heaven. In Him we live and move and have our being. People think that they're in control, but they're not. They're not. Thank God those who believe in Christ are saved from sin. And they're saved from hell. Saved from hell. I'm absolutely amazed at the amount of funerals I go to. Different funerals in different places. Different churches. Not in our own church. And there's not one word today from your modern day pulpit. There's not a word today about hell. It's as if it just had taken wings and flying away. It's the word that mustn't be spoken anymore in our modern church, in our modern pulpit. It's that word that we're to skip over. It's that word that we must tone down. There's no mention of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of it, didn't he? Did he speak about that rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell being in torments? Didn't he speak about the place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not? Yes, it is true that if we're going to preach on hell, like Robert Murray McShane said, we ought to preach with a tear in our eye and with great feeling. There's no denying that. But oh, they rejoiced because the corn, the crop was out of danger, saved, gathered in. Is your soul saved tonight? Is it safe? Is it? Have you come to Christ? Can you say tonight, praise God, I'm saved, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I know that I'm safe, my soul is safe. When the time comes, whether it be 10 years from now or 20 years or tomorrow, I know it's going to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. They rejoiced. There was a remnant here rejoicing as the men rejoiced before the Lord in harvest time. It was a spiritual rejoicing. Dear soul, you look to the Lord tonight. Only trust Him, as the hymn writer said, only trust Him, and He will save you now. And may the Lord bless His word your heart.